for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have, like, a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship. New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi. I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Hey, friends, quick thing off the top here. It's me, your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore.
And me.
Oh, yeah, we're here too.
And
yeah.
We're all here.
All of us.
I just like to introduce ourselves, just because we haven't introduced ourselves yet, so we're going to introduce ourselves.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
I mean, that's basically what we're doing. This is like our pre-introducing ourselves introduction of ourselves.
That's correct.
What episode are we on right now?
106, we decided to start pre-intros.
107.
107, yeah. Okay. That was pretty good guess.
Pretty close. Just a little note to make sure to listen right to the end of today's episode, the very end. So you get all the information, because this one is really.
Are there bloops at the end?
There will be a couple good bloops at the end.
Well, don't leave before the bloops then.
Okay, so like kind of between the bloops and whatever this message is. So just listen through
just keep listening until
you get all the information that you need to make the decisions that you need for your life. Okay,
and then you'll hear hilarious bloops, and it'll all be okay.
This was mysterious.
On with the show!
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
Well, actually, I have questions. Nanpa 9, Bureau of Anomalous Legends, Lore, and Spectacle.
We're sort of more like freelancers. We don't necessarily take...
We take our directions from the big guy.
Yeah, normally we kind of just look towards Glim in that book.
The prophecies say that in the not-so-distant future, a great army of the undead will sweep over the land led by the Shadow.
No, come on. There's
Hold on. Have you met the Shadow?
There is strange things afoot, and this new prophecy might be the way that we need to go.
I mean, we're not doing anything else right now.
We're certainly not going to Celestia.
Nope. Because we can follow simple direction.
Yeah.
These metal bars crash to the ground behind you.
Watch out behind you guys.
Look out behind you.
Took you long enough. Stop fucking around, boys.
You guys were supposed to be here a couple hours ago.
They don't speak monkey. They couldn't get us across the crater. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Do labels on shirts mean nothing anymore?
Here, have a Werther's.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. He, him. Also with me today is Amy Moore.
Yes, she, her, and I am playing Sullivan Slight, a Lightfoot halfling rogue, he, him.
And Tom Lair.
He, him, and I am playing Moot, who is a half-orc wild magic sorcerer who also goes by he, him.
And Carla Maxted.
She, her. I am playing Glim, a dragonborn paladin, also she, her.
And joining us again today, the loveliest of guests who might backstabble you, it's Lindsay Bowen.
He, him, play Nanpa 9, an autonome fighter of indeterminate subclass. A kindly older gent with candies for all.
Oh,
is he? Kindly seems like a bit of a stretch.
Got all those Werthers, though, right? So that's trustworthy.
I mean, who doesn't love a Werther?
Now, when you asked to see, well, you didn't ask to see the labels. When Smart Monkey showed you his label, it said not evil. You might have noticed that Nanpa didn't show you his label. Wonder what it says.
Very evil, I'd assume.
Or just not, and you have to be standing side by side.
Not evil.
Not exactly. Evil. It's a double negative.
Not evil. Yeah.
Not. It's very important to show them both at the same time. That future reference when you are brought on a destiny, match to see both labels. Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Now we know. You got to learn these lessons the hard way sometimes,
I guess. It's true. Our characters are still so young.
It's true.
There's so much they haven't learned yet.
So much.
Like the label rule.
Where you can provide us labels or items or NPCs is over on Patreon. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where we take all of those lovely things and turn them magic-like into... Well, but no, we just take them verbatim because they're pretty good ideas and we use them in the show.
Oh, much better than our own ideas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But when you are a patron, you also receive an episode dedication, of which today we are dedicating our episode to Kelly Conrad.
Kelly Conrad.
Thanks, Kelly.
Oh, the alliteration of your name makes me happy.
It's definitely like a comic book character.
Yeah.
Kelly Conrad.
Ooh.
Kelly from the Daily Conrad. News.
From of course.
Daily
yeah.
News. Daily News. Yep. Every day, get that news,
news
with Kelly
Conrad. That news.
Every day.
Thank you, Kelly. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. We'd love for you to join us over there.
Rah.
I'm gonna.
Sorry, I thought we were just gonna start growling at them.
No, I just forgot. I was gonna do this at the beginning here, but we started talking about Werthers and stuff instead. Lindsay, you have something you want to share with us that sounded really cool. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure, I've got something I can plug. It's called, so it's something I do called the 24-hour plays. And during the pandemic, we've done the 24-hour plays viral monologues. It's available on Instagram TV or YouTube. It's at 24-hour plays at Instagram. And it's a lot of celebrities and working actors and young actors doing monologues that have been written and rehearsed and prepared in a single day. And they're often doing it in their own home. So you get to see Hugh Dancy in his, like literally his cabbage patch, doing a monologue written about him standing in a cabbage patch. Or Davy Diggs in front of crazy wallpaper in his house, talking about crazy wallpaper. Or David Cross in a bathtub wearing a sailor's cap. It's fun stuff. And it's a not-for-profit. And we did it just to give artists and writers something to do during the pandemic. And you should check it out.
Love it. We'll put links down in the description so you can go find that. Fuck it, let's play!
We've been betrayed. Okay, we're up to date now.
Moot, Glim, and Sully, you find yourselves in a prison cell. Nanpa 9 standing on the other side of the bars, laying out the tragedies that have befallen some of Faerun and Toriel as a whole because of the actions of yourselves.
Expect goblins to live in a designated goblin district. It's apparent on its face. If you see a little doggy fall through a portal, check to see if that little doggy has a little boy chasing it. Just check.
Guys, when he says Goblin District, now just like saying it back to it doesn't sound right.
I mean, I agree. At the time, though, it seemed
like a solution, but it wasn't a solution. A solution would have been integration with the majority of the population.
Yeah.
However, we were very young. We were just starting out, but I think like this needs to... Moot, can you write this down? This needs to be something we backtrack on.
These are good lessons. Yeah. I don't like the trickery, and I don't like being in the prison cell.
Yeah, it's not my favorite.
But I do appreciate sort of the insight that the hindsight is giving us.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They say it's 2030.
I'm glad this is sinking in with somebody. Sonny, take the Werther's. And he hands it out to Glim. He's real bad with pronouns. That's why he always asks for them.
Thanks.
Don't need that. Don't need that, Glim. We don't know what's in those.
I'm not going to punish myself by not eating the Werther's.
Yeah, but you don't know if it's a Werther's.
Oh. Oh, you're right.
This guy just locked us in a cage.
He just tricked us.
Don't take something. Do not take candy from strangers. Who would be more strange than this person we thought we knew and is now not the person we thought we knew? Is your name even really Nanpa Gnome 9 Name? You know what?
I don't even care to know.
I don't even care to know. Let us out.
I am Nanpa, 9th of his Gnome. And you should just think about what you've done for a minute. And he kind of wheels away. Professor, tell him.
Smashing things against the bars.
I mean, is anybody getting any of this?
So I'm not. I mean, I feel like they're really trying to express themselves, but I'm not picking up.
Well, like I can tell there's passion behind, yes, but I just don't. I'm not getting any.
Well, what I'm not understanding is we were outlined some wrongdoings, and sure, yes, that happened. Mistakes were made. But now, as we try to fix them, we are bamboozled in a cage. How is this supposed to change anything?
Yeah. How is it supposed to change anything?
Yeah, Dr. Monkey.
Nanpar is far away talking to these other weird assemblage of creatures who kind of came up right as soon as the cage went down.
Yeah, let's just,
let's talk about those creatures.
I was going to say, take a second, and maybe feel free if you want me to jump in on any, but if you want to describe them, Lindsay, that would be great.
Sure. Only one is a human. He's tattooed from his neck to his toes. He's wearing a white sort of sleeveless t-shirt. Big black billowing pants. He seems to have a tome of some sort on his side and is covered in tattoos. There's a big, tall mantis creature with, you know, a wicked-looking two-headed battle axe at the ready. And you also see what looks like an ooze carrying a holy symbol. And, you know, I don't know if you can tell if it's a holy symbol, an unholy symbol, a neutral symbol, but it's definitely kind of religious looking. And a little pseudopod comes out of the ooze, holds up the holy symbol. Once in a while, an ear comes out of the ooze and listens to what someone else is saying. And sometimes a head comes out of the ooze and nods.
Well, it certainly is an interesting collection of folks here. Are we being punished?
With that, there's a knock at the door. Nah, why would there be a knock at the door? This is a prison. People can just walk in all the time.
I was gonna say there's like bars. There's not really a door.
Oh,
there's
come like in. A door.
Like to the chamber,
to
right?
To the chamber.
Oh, okay.
More what I meant.
You didn't say there was a door when we came in.
A secret rock door you didn't see before just opens. Yeah. If you thought to bring a dwarf with you, you would have seen it. Where's your dwarf? Where's your dwarf, people?
A human dressed in robes enters and looks to the group that's not behind bars and says, Daisy, we'll see you now.
Done fucking around, I guess. And then Paul looks a little, his face never moves. He's a robot with no movable features, but his head hangs a little bit. He looks a little crestfallen as he squeaks after the robe figure. Time to see Daisy.
God, I hope he's in the biggest amount of trouble.
Me too. What if he was supposed to just give us dinner or something and instead he put us in prison?
Can I squeeze through these bars? I'm a small person.
No. They're jail bars. You're 4 feet tall.
It matters how thin I am, not how tall I am.
Okay, so you're 6 inches thin?
No. I know how big 6 inches is, Russell. That sounded weirdly pointed. For no particular reason do I know. Okay, fine. I can't squeeze through the bars. Is there... The bars came from above or below?
You're in an entirely different area. I said you were in a jail cell.
So bars came down and then they took us
and
to
then
a
jail. Oh,
well, that
moved.
Part I didn't understand. Shut up, Tom.
I didn't either.
Fuck you, Tom.
If no one but God agrees, that's what happened. Did it happen?
I mean, I didn't follow that either,
okay,
but just hearing
good.
Russ like spell it out for you was very funny. Well, you're not even there.
I was under the impression that we were still in the barred.
Oh, no, like, I kind of had like these.
Well, fuck. Oh, yeah. Come on now.
Yeah.
Okay, well, never mind. I'd like to pick the lock.
You check your pockets and realize that everybody has taken all of your things from
all
you.
Of my things?
All of your things.
What about my rock?
They put you in jail.
Did they
what
take my rock?
Stuff in her butt?
Yeah, what about the keistered stuff?
His butt. Sorry.
That's okay.
It's not a name, it's butt.
Or is it? I'll never tell. Yeah, what about the secret lockpick that I've keistered?
Stuff.
Yeah. What about the butt stuff, Russ?
Okay. Roll me straight D20. Above 10, you've got your lockpicks in your butt. Below 10, you don't have your lockpicks in your butt.
This doesn't seem very fair. It's 50-50. It's 10.
You have half.
So I guess you don't.
You have half of your lockpick set in your butt. Above and below. He didn't say what happened with 10.
Guys, I can only get 50% of them out. We're gonna have to work with what we've got here. Can I roll a disadvantage to pick a lock with only half the amount of lockpicks I need?
As the secret stone door closes, you unkeister half of your lockpick set and can roll with disadvantage to try and pick the lock.
And did all the baddies go to see Daisy or just...
Everybody, okay. Yeah,
they
the whole
went.
Group left.
Oh, fuck me. I can't roll above a 10.
Plus sleight of hand.
Yeah, so that is a 12.
Yeah, with half of the lockpick set, you are unable to pick this lock.
Guys, sorry, they're just too slippery. Let's just let that sit for a second.
Yeah, yeah. Just a long silence after that. Okay, so...
Just gonna put him back.
What the heck? We're trying to help.
I'm sorry. I made Russ make a face.
We're trying to help the orb. So, are they the cult? Is there no cult? I don't understand.
Is
it all
orb?
A trick?
Is this just about punishing us for
question.
Bad things that we did?
Great question.
It is a great question.
Is there even a fucking prophecy? We've just been swindled. I'm mad.
Yeah, I guess nothing they said could be true.
Melt these bars with your magic.
Oh, can you do that? Try that.
I mean, I can try.
Okay, great.
All right, stand back.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'll hit it with a scorching ray.
Fuck, I hope
we'll
a unicorn shows up.
Yeah, but outside the bars.
Okay, so to hit is a 17 on the bars.
You'll hit the bars, yep.
Perfect.
The bars don't jump out of the way. Or...
Do you want some damage as well?
Yeah, give me some damage.
That is 9 fire damage.
Describe to me how cool Moot looks casting this spell.
I mean, Moot looks super cool. That's right. It says there's 3 rays, but yet I roll a, 2d6s. All right. Oh, nope. There we go. 3d6s. All right. Hang on. There's one more. Add a 4 to that. So 13, I guess.
Sure. Even better.
Moot looks super cool doing this to jail cell bars. He's just got like a torrent of fire coming out of his hands.
Swirling around your hands, and you release it towards the bars, and this field shoots up out of like almost out of the ground, it seems, as the fire redirects back towards the 3 of you, and you each take 13 fire damage.
Wait, we don't share the fire damage among
us. No.
Sharing is caring.
As you fall to the ground, coughing and trying to catch your breath as the air around you is just ignited, we transition to another room, a boardroom of sorts. And inside, it's wood paneled, It's like a floral yellow and green wallpaper on the walls. And in walks Nampaw 9 and Professor Smart Monkey, followed by their crew, as this person leads them in, tells them, you can have a seat, and Daisy will be in shortly.
Fine. I'll take a kettle of whiskey, but only one, and under protest.
Kettle of whiskey coming right up. And he exits through a back door that's like a panel door that doesn't look like a door. It's just a secret entrance. You all sit down, and everybody's kind of just silently looking at each other, waiting for someone to break the tension.
Well, I've had better days, kids.
The ooze kind of lifts up its ear and the holy symbol and pulls itself up onto the table slowly. And Professor Smart Monkey reaches into his pocket and starts like tossing the chalk up into the air.
You know, they might pay out, Professor. They might, Nanpaw looks around at the rest of the crew. They might allow you guys your brains back. Or maybe we'll just, he leans over to the professor and says, maybe we'll just kill everybody and leave.
Professor Smart Monkey stops at that for a moment.
You know, maybe with those morons in the cage, we can team up. Get paid. Kick balls and get the hell out of here.
With that, the back panel door opens up and in walks a small gnome in a freshly pressed lavender pantsuit. Hair pulled back into a tight bun. She hops up onto the chair at the end and says, well, it looks like you balls have finally done something right.
Listen. Lick would be nothing without balls. Don't give me that. You bureaucrats are nothing.
Lick has the power of Orcus at his side. Lick does everything Lick needs, but you are called in just to get the nuisances out of the way.
Balls. Balls is the answer.
Balls is always the answer. Conversations. Can I just talk to the monkey?
I don't know why I didn't start with him. Nanpaw wheels himself into the corner and just like sulking.
Professor Smart Monkey. And looks over to Nampaw 9.
No. You please lead this conversation with Daisy. I'm done.
Yes, he is very difficult sometimes. The fact of the matter is, you brought them all here, and you're right. You do deserve your reward. Yep.
What I want, Daisy... And he yells from the far corner of the paneled room. What I want is my team back.
Your team back? Well, your team is under contract of sorts. The new right hand, well, I guess he's not new right hand, but he's very... loves just organization and having things neat in order. I mean, you've met Varnox once, and Lipsinky, she's new around here. I think she's coming in later today just to kind of deal with this problem.
What I want is a tag in my chassis that doesn't say morally questionable.
Well, if you weren't so morally questionable, we wouldn't have to put that tag on you. Now, would we, Nanpaw?
Pay us and let's end this charade. I don't like you. You don't like me. Stop fucking around.
Stop fucking around. All right. I'll stop fucking around. She gets up. She grabs her clipboard that I forgot to mention when she walks in, and she storms out of the back panel, slams it behind her. Your counterparts, their gaze drifts over to you, sulking in the corner, and then over to Professor Smart Monkey, who also is looking troubled, and you hear a click at both doors, as if they are locked.
I love that it's a big cave. And they're like secret sliding stone doors.
Totally.
And then it's like how when you lock a bathroom.
Yeah.
I'm picturing this super like Dr. Evil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Cave. Mm-hmm. There's probably a stream at some point.
Sure. Yeah. rot in it.
There's a hiss that starts, and gas is beginning to fill the room. And we cut back to Mooklim and Sully.
Wait, that was my room, not their room?
Yeah.
Damn it.
I was like, you seem very nonchalant, but...
There's a
we lot. All look at death differently as well.
There's a lot about breathing and not breathing on my character sheet, which I shall study as you guys play D&D.
And D&D yeah. we shall.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Re-Slayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
So, oh my God, you guys... What if it's Miss Ma'am Meow Meow?
He did mention Neverwinter.
Yeah, he called it Neverwinter, which was just weird. But, like, I feel so bad. What if this all is all because of me and that stupid Ledger and escaping from prison?
Can I say something? I know that you stole that and you shouldn't have. But if you hadn't have, we never would have even met. We never would have met. None of us would be together.
I mean, that's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was the right thing, even though it was the wrong thing.
Well, I mean, she told me to do it, but she's awful. And so what if now this is her, you know, getting me back?
I don't know. Do you think that she had access to, like, a subterranean prison?
It's true.
She had her own prison. Why would she need a second prison?
I don't know.
I know she was very powerful, like, kind of locally, but I don't know. This seems like a pretty wide-reaching...
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. I mean, you could be right. She could walk through the door right now.
And we all pause and look at the door, like...
Mm-hmm, just in case.
That would have been pretty cool, though.
Also, guys, can I just apologize for the fire thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm like... Mostly only just, like, hurt me a little bit.
But, like, you know, I thought maybe it might work. And Sully, you were so, like, supportive of the idea.
You know what? It looks so cool.
All right, well, that's something.
My clothes are ruined, though. But luckily, I was wearing the cult robe. So, like, my regular good stuff is still okay. Actually, I'm just going to take... And he takes off the tattered pieces of the robe that he was wearing. I'm just going to take these off, maybe... Use them as, like, a weapon of some kind. Now it's in strips.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I can, like, garrot somebody with it. I don't know.
Oh, I would love to see that.
Yeah, I'm going to need a boost.
Yeah, just climb up their back and just...
Do we call someone in here? Are they going to give us food or...
We cut to a small office. And Daisy is storming in. Just horrendously upset. And seated behind the desk is a gnome with two pigtails who sees her enter, and Daisy stops and says, oh, Lipsinky, I thought you were coming later.
Oh, well, you know me. I just show up whenever I feel like it. Just a little bit early, a little surprise.
Yeah, well, good news on several fronts. Good news on several fronts.
I love good news.
Yes, I know you do. Balls. Yeah, you know those crazy kids balls. They brought in the nuisances, the ones that Orcus has prophesied will maybe
the requested nuisances are here now.
Yes, they are here now. That is good.
Well, that is good news. You said you had more good news?
Yes, we are taking care of balls as we speak. The room is filling with gas. Eliminate that problem.
Right. Do you think they're all susceptible to gas?
Well, why wouldn't they be susceptible to gas?
Well, I thought that one little fellow was kind of like a mechanical and maybe didn't have the breathing organs and...
Right. Right. What I forgot to tell you is that also fire will start after the gas.
Oh.
Fire will start after the gas, and she opens the door, and she's like, Victor, Victor, remember the fire. Remember the fire, please. Third point of order, that team we sent, you know, to the moon to open the gateway to the abyss and allow the portal power to erupt forth.
Right.
That is underway as well.
That's great news.
Yes. Look, we're just checking off boxes,
Daisy,
left, right, and center.
You are doing such a good job.
And then all of these portals will begin opening up. And then, well, I mean, you say it better than I do. But, I mean, it's time for celebration.
Well, I think, like, the Orcus party is going to be starting real soon. Sounds like.
Varnox maybe mentioned a promotion if... I managed to do so many good things.
Oh, well, I'm not sure. He didn't mention that to me. I'm not.
Oh, didn't make it down the chain when you were having your meetings. Well, maybe he just forgot. I'll talk to him next time I see him and just see if that's important to him and to Orcus. We cut back to the boardroom as the room is slowly filling. You can see it. It's like water slowly filling with this green gas. Professor Smart Monkey looks to Nanpaw with a panicked face.
Nanpaw is going to roll over to Professor Smart Monkey and hug him from behind like he's doing a rescue swimming crawl. And says, just go limp, little buddy, go limp.
And he goes limp.
This is why they call me Pop Pop. And you hear pop. And a little flap comes out of the back of his chassis, like the back of a union suit. And then there's a second pop, pop. And out of the back of that flap, the whole black ball that he's been rolling on suddenly inflates all at once, like a slide on an airplane. And suddenly he's 10 feet tall. He's like a buff Michelin man. And he pulls off his features from his face, and he puts them on his belly, and he pulls down his fez to hide his head, and he's just a big dude. He takes his crossbow, and he takes his shield, and he takes his baseball bat somehow, and he grabs Professor Smart Monkey, and he kicks in the door.
Thank you for saying door and not kicks Professor Smart Monkey.
Takes Professor Parsmo and bashes him against the door.
Just destroys him.
Uses him as a weapon.
Go limp.
Go limp.
Because Nanpaw 9 is a rune knight, and he is suddenly large size, and he's way stronger. And he kicks open the door towards the cage where Destiny's children are.
The door erupts open into the prison area, and Nanpaw 9 and Smart Monkey, who's gone limp and probably is concussed, look back at your team as the gas is pouring out of this office now and into this new chamber that you are walking in, this prison chamber that you are walking into, and you look back at them, and they're unmoving. Like, they're looking at you, but there's no recognition behind their eyes.
Guys, nothing. Come on.
None of them move. Mooklim and Sully, do you still look like Nanpaw 9 when you're big, or is it something like unrecognizable?
He's wearing a black. He looks like a buff Michelin man. He's wearing a black suit.
Okay.
He's got the full Russ Moore vision of the Men in Black effect.
Yep.
is what he looks like. So his head is yoga ball sized now, not volleyball sized. And his mustache is kind of proportionate. And his big crossbow is a hand crossbow. And his baseball bat's a billy club.
So busting into this prison, into your prison cell, and now gas pouring in is Nampa 9 carrying a gone limp Professor Smart Monkey. You see the three others in this boardroom behind them, based on how this room has exploded out, who appear unmoving. From somewhere beyond, you hear muffled yelling, but you can't quite make out what they're saying.
Nanpa yells out, "Open the Werther's!
Shut the door! You're letting all the poison out."
Or I guess maybe in this case?
I guess it depends on where you want the poison.
Looks sadly at his slack-jawed team, and robots don't sob, but just slowly closes the door. And looks back at you guys.
I'm going to open the Werther's, but I'm trying to do it kind of quietly because I don't really want Sully and Moot to know that I'm doing it. But of course, that means it's like somehow takes 10 minutes and it's so loud instead of just like pulling it open.
Sure.
You know, you've all been to movies.
We call that the movie theater special.
You are Mr. Bean at church trying to eat a hard candy. Yes.
But I get it open and I'm like, should I? Do you want me to eat it? I mean, I don't...
Oh my God, Glenn, don't eat it.
You open the Werther's, and inside, as you hear the crinkled wrappers painfully unwrapping, is a key.
Ooh, ooh. Sully, it's a key. Do you want to do the honors? This is probably the gifts out of here.
Well, you know, I mean, you can do it, but I'm just like... feeling real bad. I told you not to eat it earlier. Why did you give us a key earlier? You seemed really...
Well, actually, not eating it was the right advice.
It's true. Oh. What if I thought it was a key-shaped Werther's? I mean, I don't think I would have done that, but I maybe, and...
Oh, let's unlock the door.
The yelling from down the hall sounds like it's getting louder and coming closer.
I try the key in the lock.
And it opens. Like a... noise happens, and the door swings open, and you're able to step out.
We haven't forgiven you, but let's fucking leave.
I don't expect you to, and let's kill everybody instead, and then leave.
You know what? I'm mad enough. Let's do it. Glim, is that okay?
I mean,
these are evil guys.
They're real evil, and so are you. I'm
morally questionable. He shows you his tag.
I can't believe that identification system anymore. Everything is a lie.
Really? Doesn't it check out?
Well, I mean, isn't that always right?
You know, with the leisure of more time to think about it, I'm sure I'd agree. However, you got a bigger problem. Did I tell you Orcus is always naked, by the way?
I'm sorry. Orcus?
Sorry.
Always naked.
Why is he always naked?
That's your question,
why?
Moot.
Don't know.
I mean, but, if you could be always naked.
It's really intimidating.
It's a real power move when you go into Shark's
Tank.
There's Orcus standing there saying, I got the money. What are you going to give me? Oh, yuck. Okay. A side door smashes open, and on the other side are three cultists with a sword, a sickle, and that one that has nunchucks. And they scream.
You're just gonna. And the last one has nunchucks.
Yeah.
There's nunchucks.
There's nunchucks. No big deal. And they say, "Stop! Stop! Get back in your cell! What are you doing?" And charge towards you, Sully. You're up first. Three cultists: sword, sickle, nunchucks.
All right, I'm going for nunchuck guy.
Chuck.
Okay.
It's the right
you
call.
Have none of your equipment on you.
You have that.
I
scraps.
Do have one thing.
You have your garroting. Torn robes.
I have better than garroting things, you guys. I looked at my character sheet.
What?
And I truly doubt that they stripped me of these nondescript cloths around my wrists, being my master's hand wraps. That's right. We've never heard of this before, folks. Strap in. Amy's about to read off her character sheet.
Lindsay, I hope you know that this is like a momentous occasion. So...
it's a long paragraph. No, I'm just kidding. So they're just wraps around my wrists that they add to my unarmed strikes. Also, when I take an attack action, I can choose to make a special attack as well, lashing out with the extra strips of fabric and like pulling a creature closer to me. So it's very exciting. So I'm going to take an action first, which is going to be obviously an unarmed strike. I'm going to just like run up and just like punch, jump and punch nunchuck dude in the face.
That's so much. Yeah.
All that lead up. Does a 7 hit?
No.
Had you said anything else, maybe.
8 would have done it.
Maybe.
7, not so much.
7, I have a hard time believing
so
a trained nunchuck cultist has a dexterity of minus 2.
Shut up.
3.
I'm not done my turn. I'm going to describe what I do. I run up and I two-hand punch on either side of his head and then just go like, I'm blowing 7 different kinds of smoke. And then I... I disengage as my as my cunning action, and I backwards. So you're welcome.
You get to call who's next.
It's gonna be Nunchuck Guy. Because I think he's probably a little confused right now and wants to respond.
Sure.
Yep.
Because I think we all are. And I'm really sorry for wasting everyone's time.
I love
this. This is my favorite.
Yep. Nunchuck is stunned and takes a moment to collect himself. And it's like 7 kinds of smoke.
Fuck you.
Can somebody else take this? And he calls to one of his friends, the sickle person beside, who looks at Nampa 9 and then kind of like, you see this look in his eyes like, maybe not yet.
It's above my pay grade.
And charges towards Glim.
I mean, that's a weird, I'm also big and intimidating, okay?
But slightly less than a giant robot.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
A robot.
Does a 15 hit without armor on?
Oh, yeah. My chainmail only makes me a 16 and I have an 18 AC. So I think it is not. I think that's all me. That's all natural, baby.
Wowza, wowza. Okay, yeah. Then, he charges over to you and you dodge out of the way of his advance. I'm going to throw it to you there, Glim.
Okay, can I try and fire blast him?
Please do.
Oh, wait. You have to roll. You need to get a...
crit one?
Dex.
Ooh.
I mean, that's perfect. You did your job excellently, Russ.
I did it. I'm playing D&D, guys.
Does that mean you get double damage?
Sure.
Nice. No, let's not set that precedent. Some of us roll
now.
Lots of ones.
For now.
I die.
14... fire damage. You touch my donkey? Blast.
So his robes are lit and he's screaming, running around on fire, which is a terrible thing to do, but he's doing it. And like runs and hits the bars and knocks himself out.
Moot, do something cool.
Okay. Moot is going to take a look at the nunchuck guy who's still pretty confused about what happened earlier. And he's going to hit him with a mind spike. So I'm going to reach into that confused mind. And you have to make a wisdom saving throw. Now, being so confused, are you maybe like, disadvantage on that?
He's already confused. Is it disadvantage?
Sure, I rolled a 9.
I mean, it's not great, and it's not enough to dodge the full damage. So you're taking 3d8 psychic damage.
Love Do it.
It's a good spell.
So what you're saying is I confused him enough to make your spell.
Yeah, you
really
like
good?
Loosened the lid on the pickle jar, and then he opened it.
You're taking 21 psychic damage.
Ooh, baby.
As he's focused on all the kinds of smoke that Sully's blowing, because this is all kind of happening at the same time. Like he goes from confusion to pain to being on the ground, doubling over with his eyes like bulging out of his head and crumples in silence. There's one swordsman left.
Nanpa does see this and says, "Whoops, bad magic."
You get it.
We're in the middle now.
So right before he started the song, Russ turned around and he had cat's eyes.
Yeah, it was really spooky.
He looked into the camera.
Scary stuff. And darkness, you should see the moves he was doing. They were amazing. The
yeah, and then Vincent Price showed up, so.
Yeah. It's getting weird over here, you guys. I'm scared.
Yeah,
just a classic January kind of thriller thing, you know.
Just a Jan thriller.
That's right. We're, you know what? Okay, I'm just going to keep talking over top of everybody here.
Perfect.
We're glad to be back here in January. I know we were only off for a literal week, but it felt like much longer than that.
Through the magic of recording in advance, we were off for longer than a week, and it was delightful.
It was very good. We had a good break. We hope you had a good break, too. We're in the middle of this episode where we teased off the top that you should listen right through to the end because some wild and crazy things are happening and will continue to happen through the last little bit of this episode. So just a reminder that there will be explanation after the episode.
Hold your questions until the end, please.
No questions yet.
But then if you have questions, like, feel free to hop on over to Discord, ask your questions. But all will be revealed.
That's right. Put them in the spoiler chat if they're explicitly spoilers.
Yes.
And you can even use that extra spoiler
tag.
Yeah.
And feel free to be mad at me specifically if anything happens.
Yeah, not me. I don't handle confrontation well. But if you want to take all that pent up feeling and just give it to Russ, that's fine.
Yeah, we'll give you a little tip. It gets easier the more you get mad at Russ. Yeah. The first time feels wrong, but then when you keep having to go back to the well, like, it really becomes second nature.
Yeah. Yes.
So what else can we say? We've kind of really teed this up, I think, higher than it's going to be.
I agree. So just like everything's cool. Don't worry about it. Nah, but just like listen back, to the whole episode.
Listen to the next 20 minutes. 1.5 times speed if you want. It's fine.
No, there's some cool stuff that happens.
Okay,
don't
listen on half speed then.
Don't listen to that.
That makes it sound like you're a robot.
So just listen to at the regular speed you enjoy listening.
Yes.
Oh, all right.
You live your life, I think, is what we're the constant message.
That's the one.
And then join us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Nanpa's kind of at the far end of the cavern from the rest of them, but really big. He's going to very tenderly put down the professor and stride over to try to get really in the middle of everybody if he can. He wants to be near as many of the Destiny's children as he can, and he wants to, get in front of Sickle and just bash him in the face with his billy club. Say, I've been waiting to do this forever, bureaucrats. And he's going to roll, and it's a dirty 20.
Yeah, that's going to hit. Give me some damage.
That's 12 damage of billy club in the face.
His face is crushed in as this billy club connects, and his head spins around and is unrecognizable from what he was before. The three guards... have all been dispatched, and you hear, or I guess Nanpa 9 recognizes the voice of Daisy calling down. They've escaped. Lipsinky, things aren't going well. I probably didn't deserve the promotion, but you should probably just come help me deal with this, because I'm just a bureaucrat.
Well, now you told me it was all good news. Now you're telling me it's bad news? What's the bad news?
They've escaped.
I'm sorry, you had them here and they have escaped?
Well, maybe
how about
they're
I go
still...
see for myself?
Would you like me to come with you and escort you to show you the way?
Yes, please. Let's go quickly.
You hear high-heeled footsteps walking down towards your prison cell.
How do we get out of here, Nanpa?
Where are all my stuffs?
Ooh, that's also a good question. And can the professor use his magic and get us out of here all at once?
Professor's in bad shape. I'm going to have to carry him. Your stuff is down the hall in the evidence room. And Nanpa uses his big, long, rubbery feet to kick down another door.
Let's go get us stuff.
I don't know that this is the way to the evidence room.
Oh, what the
but
fuck?
This was the, well, this was the most rickety door. Let's try it.
You crash out into a hallway, and some other bureaucrats kind of run, scatter out of the way, and scream running down the hall. The hallway is clear. People dive into offices, and you hear these quick footsteps being followed by slower-paced ones, more moderately-paced ones, coming down from the left. And you see a doorway that has a big sign that says evidence in here off to the right.
Well, let's go. I would really like to get my sword and everything else. Let's just get in there and then get out.
It's just this way, Lipsinky. I don't think it'll take us long to get here. And I hear there's a crashing door and people screaming. That probably means something's happening.
All right. I want you to maybe get behind me when we get in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Drop him back.
Is the door to the evidence room unlocked, Russ? Can we just open it?
It opens up, and it's filled with all sorts of weapons and mystical artifacts and tomes and maps.
And Pa yells, "Actually, if you see the orb, you should probably grab it."
Fuck your orb. That's what got us in this situation in the first place.
Yeah, it's a good orb. Grab it.
Do I see the orb anywhere? Do we see our stuff anywhere?
I'd like to grab random things.
Yeah, I want to roll a D100 and just grab something, and we'll figure out what it is later.
Ooh, that's fun.
I've made my roll. I've written down the response. Okay. I'll let you know when it is time.
Me too.
Me too.
Remember, it's a purple.
Okay, everybody's got their random things. Okay, Mute, you're specifically looking for
I'll take lead on the orb, because I don't really have equipment, per se.
Okay, you roll me an investigation for the orb.
Okay.
Everybody else, you are able to find pretty quickly your things. As they are newly added items, they're just kind of tossed on top.
That's 15 for the investigation.
Rooting around quickly, you hear the footsteps and like a sinister laugh coming from a very southern-sounding gnome who rounds a corner, and you see before you, Lipsinky,
guarding the door.
A giant robot guarding the door. So you don't see everybody else, but you see this robot before you. So Nanpa, you also see who you recognize as Lipsinky coming around the corner, who is Varnox's right hand, and Varnox is the right hand to Orcus.
Well, well, well.
Welcome to the party, child. You look different in clothes.
Well, now, what are you guys trying to do? And I'm going to attack myself? What have you done to me, Russ? I'm going to...
Well, you're attacking a robot right now. You don't know that. You don't see the other ones behind them.
I'm in the way of the door.
Yeah. Well, he can't block the whole door, does he?
He's giant.
It's a big robot, and it's a normal door.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to do the thing I was going to do, and instead, I'm going to... Eldritch Blast him.
All right.
Does a 24 hit?
That is gonna hit.
That only does 6 damage. Not so bad.
Ow!
Everybody inside, you hear Nanpa yell, and the sound of this sweet-sounding individual who might have hurt him outside.
You okay, big man?
Yeah. Y'all want to come out here? I've been dying to meet you.
How close is Lipsinky to Nanpa?
Longish hallway distance.
All right. So he is carefully going to put his billy club down beside the slumped body of the professor. Hold this, Fess! And pull out his hand crossbow and shoot it at Lipsinky. That's a 3 on the die. I don't think any bonus is going to help that. That's an 8. Does an 8 hit?
It does not.
So close, though, I bet.
Oh, Lindsay, welcome to my world.
But I get 2 attacks per action, because I'm a fighter. Does a 21 hit?
Oh, it does.
7 damage. a little bit more than you did.
All right, y'all. Come out wherever you are.
Russ, have I been able to track down this orb yet?
Fired back and forth, you would have found the orb.
Nampa, you said this expands and makes portals? Is that something we can do right now?
Have to ask the professor.
Okay, and I, like, crawl beside Nampa's leg and, like, grab the professor, try to, like, bring him into the little room with us. And like,
does Lipsinky just see, like, a hand groping between the legs of this giant robot and, like, grab the limp monkey and drag him through?
Wait, can I see Lipsinky through my vantage point of through the legs?
I mean, not clear shot, but you definitely would see a figure. We've described Lipsinky before, but, like, long, pippy, long stocking pigtails. What's Lipsinky wearing these days? You tell me, Carla.
Oh, I think still just like classic overall, just like a jean dungaree overall.
Yeah, right.
Love it. Okay, well, yeah, I mean, before I grab the professor, I throw some magic missiles off towards Lipsinky.
All right. So those are going to auto hit.
Those auto hit, and I'll roll you some damage.
Unless Lipsinky has anything powerful against those, but I don't think that's...
I don't think so.
So it was a 3, 3, and a 1, so that's 7 force damage. Oh, each one gets a +1, so 10 force damage.
Lipsinky, you see a hand reach out to grab the monkey, but then just like a face peek out, and 3 magic missiles come careening towards you, which knocks you a little bit off balance.
And I grab the monkey, and also I'll roll for my wild magic surge.
Please do.
Oh, it's a nat 20, so I think that was good.
Fine. Wanted a unicorn to show up.
I mean, it would have been great.
I'm going to give Lipsinky another go here as you get hit by magic missiles. Monkey's being dragged back in as you kind of correct yourself.
I think I'm going to cast Wall of Light.
Okay.
So this is a very bright, large, thick wall. Sorry, it's like 9,000 words long.
No, it's so Wall of Text. You're reading Wall of Text.
Each creature in its area. Yeah,
just finish after the first couple words like Russ would.
That's right. A shimmering wall.
Done.
There you go.
Perfect.
Everyone in the area needs to make a con saving throw.
How far is the area?
Yeah, 120 feet.
Well, okay.
60 feet long, 10 feet high, 5 feet thick. All y'all.
I got to roll the disadvantage.
Oh, that's me too.
Oh, shit. I did this to myself.
Professor Smart Monkey rolled a nat 20, but then I realized he was partially unconscious, so I rolled with disadvantage, and he got a 2.
I mean, less great.
Probably with a plus, but, you know.
13.
Glim got a 14. And what I was looking for was a 17.
Oh, fuck.
17. Wow. So you guys are going to
Well, Moot rocked it. He got a 22, so.
Okay. Then I think you just take half damage.
Oh, with perfect. We're all going to die.
With Moot save, though, and he's, like, dragging the monkey, does he not protect the monkey at all?
Well, no. It's like a wall of light, right? So.
I suppose. Listen, yeah. I'm just grasping at straws here. Just trying to save the monkey, the only one who knows how to use a stupid orb.
Yep.
So Nanpa suddenly realizes the problem with having pince-nez sunglasses and rolls a 6.
totally so great blind. News. I had bad rolls. It was a 14.
Oh, well, actually, I'm sorry. I looked my character sheet wrong. He rolled an 11. It's still going to fail. And still looks really silly in his pince-nez sunglasses and being blinded by the light over the top of the sunglasses.
Adding insult to injury here.
So 14, except for Moot, will take half.
Oof.
So did I just kill myself?
Sorry. No. I have to take 14 damage?
That's correct.
Does that take you below 0?
No, I have 4 left over. Rot row, you guys.
But like this... jolt of pain like woke this monkey up, right?
Oh yeah, monkey's fired up. And he's kind of stumbling around and he's looking at you like with his tiny hands grabbing your shoulders, Moot.
And I hold the orb out to him and I say, get us out of here, professor.
Grabs the orb and
like claps his hands onto the orb, which sends out this wave that disperses the light. And quickly, Moot, Glim, Sully, and Professor Smart Monkey snap out of the room, and suddenly you appear in a clearing in a forest, just kind of thrown to the ground.
Guys, I'm not doing very good.
Is everyone okay?
No. Sully's like bleeding from the mouth, probably ears.
Where's Nampa?
But what you didn't see is that as the edge of this portal, you know, sort of starts to grow out, you see Nampa pull off his fez and swing it like Slim Pickens riding the missile at the end of at the end of Doctor Strangelove, and just rushes after Lipsinky and says, "See you on the other side, smart monkey."
As the four of you collect yourselves in the clearing, realize that Nampa is not there, and Smart Monkey's like panicked, like hitting at the orb, and it's not doing anything. You look up and you see that it's kind of dusk, and the moon is bright in the sky, and there's this crack that rings out everywhere. And starting in the center of it, like this purple black energy begins to roil out across the face of the moon until it's completely covered and emitting like these long tendrils of energy that begin seemingly moving towards you and the land below.
Is anyone seeing this? You're all seeing this, right?
That doesn't look normal.
Just panicked.
I put a hand on Sully and heal him 20 hit
points. Oh, that feels nice. Oh, thanks, Glim, that feels nice. Oh, gosh.
You're welcome, but I think we probably have a little bit of a situation happening, so...
Monkey, what's wrong with the moon?
Professor Smart Monkey looks at the orb and looks at the moon and... just shrugs.
Well, it can't be good.
Now, oh, is there anything in your book, Glim?
I'll open my book. Is there any new words?
There's no new words. The next page after the scrawled note that you found earlier is a burnt black page. You're all looking down at the book, and the camera begins to move up and out of this clearing. And we begin to hear low, droning moans coming from everywhere and nowhere all at the same time as it pans up and further into the air. And we see undead coming out of doors in villages in the surrounding area.
Nampa 9 said that the Orcus is always naked.
Dungeons & Dragons, Season 2, Episode 105, starring Amy Moore as Sully, Carla Maxted as Glim, Tom Laird as Moot, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master, with special guest Lindsay Bowen as Nanpa 9. Editing, production, and sound design is by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Kevin MacLeod and Epidemic Sound, and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Kat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Devin Michaels, Craig Zeiss, Aaron Stevens, Derelith, Lulahan, and Charlie Warley. Support Dungeons & Dragons and our many other productions at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. You'll also receive bonus episodes and a full exclusive podcast called The Adventures Of, run by Tom, with characters played by Amy, Carla, and I. We hope to see you over there. You can also follow us at facebook.com/dumbdragoncast and on Instagram and Twitter at dumbdragoncast. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk again soon.
So you made it to the end.
You did it.
Thank you for staying.
We asked you to, and you did. You're the best.
You're so good.
So some things happened.
Yeah, things went down.
I hope there's no one. I know people in my life who read books by flipping to like the last chapter and seeing if they like the way it ends before they invest the time into reading it. So I hope you weren't one of those people that now have like flipped ahead and were like, oh, some stuff happened.
Yeah.
But if you are, you did it to yourself. So
I was going
to
say, that's on you. You made a choice. You made. And
we constantly said to live your life the way you want to live your life. And you did so. But what has happened is the darkest timeline has begun. How's everybody feeling?
Lost shaken up.
Yep. Yeah. Just fantastic overall, except for that part.
Yeah. So the safe space of the babies is still thriving. If you have only been listening to Moot, Glim, and Sully, we would love for you to join us at season 2, episode 98, where the story picks back up in the future timeline.
If that makes any sense to you.
Mm-hmm. It picks back up in the future.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you've been listening to both streams, then just keep listening as you
keep
are.
Keep doing your thing.
We'd love for you to keep doing that. If you want to get the full experience, go on back and listen to all of the episodes straight on through. Lots of tons of goofs.
Lots of tons of goofs.
Guys.
Metric tons of goofs.
Yes. So many. A few tears. We've got it all.
Yep.
But from here on out, it will be one consistent story, which is set in the quote unquote darkest timeline. Before wild and crazy things might or might not happen. We haven't played that far ahead. We're pretty far ahead, but not quite that far ahead. So we don't even know what's going to happen. Good things. Fun things.
Mm-hmm. It's our job to make it okay.
That's right.
True.
No pressure.
If they had one job,
we got this.
This is it. We got this, guys.
We got it.
Thank you so much for being here with us. Thank you so much for experiencing Moot, Glim, and Sully with us. Moot, Glim, and Sully aren't going anywhere. They're still kicking. They're still fighting. They're still going to be in one shots here and there. And then who knows what happens in the future?
Or the past.
Or the past.
Or the past.
Hit those bloops.
Fire the bloops.
Bloop.
No. You please lead this conversation with Daisy. I'm done.
I did this to myself.
Thank you.
No, I did it to you. But, you know, you assisted.
So popcorn, Lindsay, you're aware of our popcorn initiative situation. Okay, cool. Lost you again.
Yes.
I figured that was a yes, but yes, I just wanted to make sure. Okay, cool.
It was just a no, and I have no further questions.
No, I'll figure it out as we go. Moot, Glim, Sully, Professor Smarty Pants. Nope. Professor Smart Monk.
Dungeons and Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Are you emotionally exhausted? Do you have strong feelings about authoritarian power structures? Have you ever stared up at the night sky and felt tiny and alone? If so, ask your doctor about Wolf 359, the award-winning sci-fi audio fiction podcast by Kinda Evil Genius Productions. Side effects may include strange genetic experiments, unreliable AI systems, the potential discovery of alien life, and toothpaste. Find Wolf 359 wherever you listen to podcasts and visit wolf359.fm to learn more.